I sent a, you know, a detailed written sermon. Can y'all hear me through here? Because I don't hear me.
I don't hear you.
Okay. It's okay. Can you hear me anyway?
Yeah.
But what we're studying, what we've been studying, thank you, Michael, over the last few kind of 4 or 5 weeks with Larry and I on the podcast and such, is 1 Thessalonians. And it was just kind of strange for me. It was the first time in 4 years, really, that I've taught any of the letters of Paul, which is kind of funny. I think it's because when I grew up a DJ, I grew up in a Bible church, and all we ever studied were the letters of Paul.
The epistles.
Yeah, I never even heard the Gospels. You know, I heard the Gospel, but not the Gospels.
Right.
And so it ended up where I felt kind of lonely for my congregation the way Paul did. I began reading in 1 Thessalonians, and he had gone and founded this church, and he began to miss them, and he had to leave like in the cover of night. He got beat up and thrown out of town. And imagine if I had come and shared the Gospel and y'all didn't know me and you said, yeah, I've been serving these pagan gods my whole life, but this rings true. I want to serve this Messiah, this Jesus. And you're there for about a month, let's say, or 2 months under my teaching, and all of a sudden I disappear and y'all hear, God, did you know the police came and arrested him? Then you would say, I wonder if anything that he told us was true. Because, you know, the police are not going to mess with you if you really hadn't done something. And you know how people begin to think. Well, he wrote them, and their faith increased. And he wrote in the first chapters, they're telling them how much he was delighted that their faith was the thing that had grown. And if he could be there, the thing he would want more than anything is to see their faith grow more. And then he began to talk to them in the other chapters. And we came up through 4 last week. I believe it was last week. My weeks are confused. My days are confused. I told Larry, I said, we've got to start church. When I wake up, I don't know if it's Tuesday morning or Saturday night.
That's right.
It's really crazy. When the structure's gone out of my life, it's like my discipline goes away. But anyway, so we taught you at some point about the rapture event that we talked about. And I said to y'all, in Greek, that's called the parousia. That means the taking, the appearing is what it actually. Raymond, it means the appearing. I'm looking at you. And it's the appearing, and they talked about Jesus' parousia. The parousia, that means when he's coming back. And we now know that that scripture, Frank, is in 1 Thessalonians 4, and it details how things are going to happen when we die. And we talked about it yesterday, Rose, in your living room at the little service we had for Gary. And so we know that the archangels are going to descend. There will be a trumpet, that the voice of the Lord will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And we talked about that yesterday, that no one's lost. Somehow God will reconstitute all those bits and pieces of people that died at sea and the people that are over in the Whitehall Fairview Cemetery. And we're going to be reunited. And we that are living at that time, there will be living believers, will go to meet these reconstituted, let's just call them that, believers who are there in the air with Jesus, okay? And it ends up in saying, so comfort one another with these words. So Paul was speaking comfort to this little bitty church in Thessalonica. And that's what Larry and Sandy and I and Kelton have tried to speak to you all during these strange months. They're odd months of our lives, okay? So we end up now in this chapter 5. And in the first part of chapter 5, what did we study, Larry? Do you remember our podcast last week? We've tried to remember a couple of times.
I know we did this last Wednesday.
If some of y'all had listened, you could tell us, but I've noticed only 3 people listen to our podcast. So y'all are either very, very busy, or we're getting worse and worse at what we're doing, Larry. But we're not pointing blame. What we're trying to say is we're here this morning to figure out, how about this ending part? And it's a really interesting piece of scripture because, guys, it talks about, how do we get this thing called Christianity right? Getting it right. So that's what I named this morning. So if you'll stand, please, in honor of reading God's Word, we'll read this text together. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading of His Word. Y'all can sit down. Judy, thank you for emphasizing, because I know when Paul wrote that, he emphasized that. Huh?
I remember now, your podcast was on the day of the Lord.
It was on the, thank you. That's one of the three. Yeah. Thank you, Ken. And then Larry listened to it, and I listened to it, so that's the three, right? And Kathy listened to it. It was on the day of the Lord. In the day of the Lord, and I talked about it from the Jewish perspective as well as the Christian perspective. So this starts off today, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. This is an odd piece of scripture, because for a minute it's going to sound like I'm, as Cassandra would say, it's all about me, okay? That I'm preaching something all about me. But the Bible says that God raises up leaders, okay? God has raised up and called me to this position to care for you. It's a strange thing, because we're going to see there's a duality here. I'm commanded to care about you, Lynn. Care about you. And then you're commanded to support me in prayer and to respect me. And it's kind of hard when some of y'all know how human I can be when I jump off and sing the wrong song and do weird stuff. So it's kind of an odd thing. But God raises up leaders. They're called. And then they are empowered and led by God when they're yielded to the Holy Spirit. Leaders are to be respected just because Paul said that's the way it's to be. And it's very, very important, because y'all know, some of y'all know my deficiencies. You know my shortcomings. Some of y'all think I'm perfect because you hadn't spent much time around me. But Larry knows I'm not. And some of you others that are with me a lot know I'm not. And you love me anyway. And
Sandy, is that true?
Sandy?
He burnt the ribs on Friday.
Yeah, but they were still good.
Burnt the ribs on Friday, and I think you still love me. I don't know.
They were still good. I told you that.
If they had still been bad, would you still love me? That's the question.
Yes.
So anyway, the problem is, like I say, is that leaders are sinners. I'm imperfect. And so the tendency is, if your human side takes over, to see my imperfections and then to either gossip about me or gossip to others about me. Or if someone, you're looking at me real perplexed because you think I'm perfect. Because you don't spend much time with me, okay? Talk to your buddy Sandy. She'll let you know that I'm not perfect. But Paul says to love and respect our leaders, and not only that, to regard them in love. I need y'all's love.
Amen.
Okay? I need your love. I need your acceptance.
We need your encouragement.
You need my encouragement. It's this duality thing we're talking about today. This doesn't mean that you're to follow me blindly off a cliff.
Oh, no.
If I say, Larry, run get the Kool-Aid, you know, everybody knows we don't do what I say, okay? And anytime I teach, guys, you compare it, Stephanie. Y'all are new Christians, Aaron. You're a new believer. You compare what I say to God's Word. If you say, that doesn't sound right, I want to go see in the Bible where it says that. That's what I want you to do.
Or any teacher.
You know, someone asked me this morning, they said, man, I bought some holy water on the internet from this guy, and is that okay? You know, be careful. That's all I'm going to say. They didn't ask me for any money about it, but they said I could give a $37 donation. That sounds to me like somebody's asking for money for a $2, you know, a 2 cent bottle of water, right? Anyway, my point is, compare what I say, Jana. Don't just eat it up and say, yeah, we believe it. Jim told her, don't follow me over a cliff, but compare it with what God's Word says. And you don't have to agree with everything that I say in order to benefit. Do y'all understand? Sandy had a teacher years ago that said, he said, I'm up here teaching and I'm up here preaching and I'm up here talking. Some of y'all don't agree with everything I say. Take the meat and leave the bones. Isn't that a great saying?
Amen.
Yeah, who wants, yeah, Aaron. And we're trying to figure out this morning, how do we put this piece of word into our lives to get it right? Okay, that's why I made that. So That's a little bit how he starts it off, esteeming leaders, regarding them in love. And there are respective duties. This doesn't say respectful. Respective duties means there's some for me, Tyson, and there's some for you. And there's some for me and some for everybody in here. I am told to care for you all. I'm not a very caring person. Some of y'all may find that strange. I mean, Gail's known me a long time. What'd you say?
Not at all.
Thanks, Tyson. I feel encouraged. I don't know. I wasn't a real, I don't know how to quite say it. Thank you, and you've known me a long time now, and you know my personality's changed a little bit over time. That's a good thing. You know, I have a tendency, and it's not from my heart, to have this kind of harsh side to my, and maybe it's just a problem communicating, a harsh side to my communication, but I'm ordered in the Word to care for each of you. And that's why if I hear that your fence is about to break down, I feel like I need... If I say, Lord, do I need to do something about that? And he says, yeah, I better go do something about it. And some of y'all have jumped in and helped me go fix people's fence in here. You've helped me go bury dogs of people in here. Go and do other things. I hadn't bailed any of y'all out of jail yet, and I hope that doesn't happen. But when, huh? Yeah, but I have brought you home from the emergency room or whatever. I had just prepared this sermon, and unfortunately, you guys called. Because I wanted to say, oh, wow, these guys are there, and they're in Oklahoma. Guys, I'm sorry we can't help you. We got enough going on, all right? But how can I do that if I'm going to let this piece of Scripture really be in my heart? How can I do that? Now, you have a duty, too, and we're going to read about yours in a minute. Because this is a two-sided thing. I'm also to admonish you guys. This is the part some of y'all don't like. My job is to warn you, to counsel you, to exhort you. What's exhort mean? To tell you what you're doing wrong, okay? And to beg you, that's what implore means, to beseech you, encourage you, to push you, and sometimes even pressure you towards being all that God wants each of you to be. That is my job, or what kind of a shepherd am I? If I can't go with you tomorrow that we have a meeting to go to, and I can't shepherd you and talk to you and encourage you, then I need to just take this off and walk out the door. That is what the Word says that a pastor is called to do. So the response is, do you have a teachable spirit? See, I need a teachable spirit. Sometimes I don't want the Lord teaching me stuff. But each of us needs, I think, a teachable spirit. Aaron, you need a teachable spirit where you can be corrected and encouraged and instructed to be all that you're supposed to be, Phoenix. I baptized you right here in this place. You accepted the Lord Jesus right here. He is not done with you yet. And yes, you float in and out of our lives, but we're going to believe that God has a plan, a purpose, and a place for Phoenix. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
And that a church family should be behind you praying for you, not just a... Are you you're a step-grandpa, right? I want to say dad, but you're the old grandpa. So next, getting it right. Live in peace with each other. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle. Hey, get ready, y'all. Some of y'all may want to cover your feet. You're going to step on some toes. Warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone and make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. What does all that mean? I found an interpretation of it, a beautiful one here, and it helps us realize it. And this is, I was so impressed with this, I printed it in the bulletin. This is that same scripture, but listen to it put in everyday talk. Get along among yourselves. Isn't that great? Each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to move on. Y'all are laughing, okay? But this is what it says in the Greek. Praise the Lord, he sent me a Greek teacher now. I'm a month into Greek. And I can look up the Greek now. It says, Paul's saying, freeloaders are going to come that just want stuff from the church. He said, tell them to move on. Some people mistakenly believe, well, it's the church's responsibility to pay my light bill what is due or to give me a place to live. No, it isn't. The church's responsibility is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And then to help you grow into what you're supposed to be in me. So he's saying, warn the freeloaders to get a move on, okay? Gently encourage stragglers, okay? It doesn't say harshly encourage them. Chris, get up, go get a job. I'm supposed to gently encourage Chris, okay? To encourage, reach out for the exhausted. You know, part of reaching out for the exhausted is learning how to recognize people that are exhausted. Do y'all know what I mean? If you're so focused on yourself, you can't even see when you're in an exhausted person's presence. I mean, you just can't. Be patient with each other. Oh, it says pulling them to their feet. I need y'all to pull me up to my feet, you know, when I'm down. Be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Boy, we need to all read that together. What is this echo in here? Oh, I'm getting close to that. I don't know where to go in here. Like, anywhere I go, I get in trouble. There you go. And be careful that you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other. Boy, we need to do that. And always do your best to bring it out. Y'all look at what's the best in me and try to get that part out of me. Don't feed the part that's bad about me. Do you understand? Because we can always draw out the... Boy, after you've been married to somebody for 40, how long have we been married? We've been married forever, okay? But you learn when you're with somebody, you learn how to bring out the worst in them, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, she knows better than anybody in the world what button to push to make Faber go nutty. All right? And I know it about her. And so our job as brothers and sisters in Christ is to look on one another to bring out the best in each other. Don't go button pushing, right?
Your marriage will not survive unless you look for the best. Amen.
You start grabbing for buttons after a while, right? So living in peace with one another. Boy, this is going to hurt. This hurts me. It's not as easy as it seems. And it involves putting yourself aside. Some of us love to hear ourselves talk so much that that's all we hear is we talk and we talk and we talk. And we don't listen to the other person. Okay? Move from wanting to be the controller of the group and having things go your way. Y'all are laughing. I was in a prayer group with some guys. And one of those guys, and I'm not going to say who, about 15 years ago looked at me and says, "Man, you just love to talk about yourself, don't you?" That hurt.
Yes, that stung, didn't it?
That stung. But you know what? I respected that person. I know that they have a close walk with the Lord. And I said, "Lord, is that a word from you?" And so I try now, I'm not very good at it, to listen to other stories as much as I want to talk about my own. And I still, that's a little battle. It's a battle. Because nobody's got a story as interesting as me, right? Real peace is different from absence of conflict. We must learn to love each other without trying to change the things about each other that drive us nuts. Can we all repeat that? We must learn to love each other without trying to change the things about each other that might drive us crazy. And there are things about some of y'all that drive me crazy. And there's things about me that drive you nuts, okay? See beyond that. We're told to look beyond those things, okay? So, living in peace with others, warn those who are idle and disruptive. What is the duty of the church? I already went over this. The duty of the church isn't for me to run and pay your light bill every time you're late because you went and bought beer and cigarettes. I'm not saying you buy beer and cigarettes. But or because you went and bought black eyed peas, okay? And he goes on, he's saying, tell freeloaders and troublemakers to move on. It's amazing to think that that's in the Bible, isn't it? It really is.
That's a hard one, too.
That's hard. But before you start thinking about the other guy or the girl in the pew, ask yourself, are you being idle in some way? Engaging in things that have no redeeming value? Camping out in front of a television set? How about idle?
Now you're getting personal.
Huh?
Now you're getting personal.
Well, then I'm going to come right down here and... If the shoe fits, wear it, right?
It's
No, but I mean, where Satan robs you of your life one television program at a time. And you could have been out, you know, petting the dog or taking Remy for a walk or looking at the tree or swatting a mosquito, right, in the backyard.
Yeah, that's what I gotta do.
They've been pretty rough lately. So just talk to yourself. Like I said, do you always bring the conversation back around to yourself? Start listening to others. Be careful about warning others. I don't give people financial advice unless they're receiving money. They've come to me and asked for advice, or they've come and asked for money. I mean, really, I don't dwell a lot on their personal stuff. But if they do that, then I have a right to say, you've come and wanted this $500. Let's talk about why you don't have it, you know? You see what I'm saying? We need to be careful with these things. It's real careful to go preach to others. But we need to be, and we need to warn others about things and help others, but we don't need to be busybodies. Then, encourage the disheartened. Do y'all know what encourage means? What does that literally mean? No, it's cooler. It's the French word for heart. When you lose your heart, you need your heart put back in you. That's encouragement. When you lose your heart to do something, we have a way that we call that. You know what that is? Depression. You get depressed. You're so depressed that your heart is gone. Your heart's not in it. Have you ever heard people? He needs to get it, put his heart in it. Well, he's not encouraged to do so. Okay? So Paul is telling us, encourage the disheartened. When you're with someone that's depressed, put the heart back in them. Okay? Try to, and I do this in these ways. Stop and listen. Assess how serious their depression really is. Some people need to go get help, okay? I mean, in a professional way. Give them genuine encouragement from God's Word. There are so many words about encouragement in the Bible. Amen? If there weren't, I'd have become discouraged a long time ago. One of my favorite ones is this. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His Word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what man, it says in the Hebrew, or flesh can do to me. That means that I can go and I can give that encouragement. And it doesn't matter what illness can do to me or what problems can do to me whenever I'm afraid. And David is saying, I become afraid. I'm going to trust in you, God. Speak big biblical truth into others, okay? Don't waste a lot of your time and your opinion to people. Speak biblical truth to them. Here's some biblical truth. God is present with you right now in whatever difficulty you're in. Amen? Why do we know that? Because He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. When we go through trials like this, God's Word tells us it'll make us spiritually stronger. If you're going through a horrible trial, Chris, and you're back in the hospital for the 19th time, guess what? James 1 says, consider it all joy, my friends, my brothers, sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the working of these is going to give you spiritual muscles. Amen? And it's going to make you smarter. You got to give people hope that there's some positive purpose, Rose, for what you're going through. Amen? That's biblical truth, James 1. Go home and read it. 3, don't give up. I used to tell my kids, don't give up. Never surrender. I would say that to them. Dad, I just can't do this. Don't give up. Never surrender. Call out to the Lord and ask Him for wisdom and guidance, and He will give it to you. How do we know that? Because James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, Jimmy, who gives to all men freely, and He won't reproach you for it. He won't blame you for coming and saying, God, I don't know what to do. Lead me, Lord. Guide me. Don't y'all see God's Word is there for us? It's available for us. 3, help the weak. How are we going to get through all these? We are all weak to some degree. You know, it's easy to go, well, the weakest person in here is the guy that was just fixing to be out on the street. I have tremendous weaknesses. Larry's got weaknesses. Judy, you've got weaknesses. When you see someone in trouble, help the weak. And I think the idea here is that all of us have weaknesses. Y'all do not know the encouragement I've had. Where is Devin right now? Devin just disappeared.
He left.
Huh?
He left.
He did?
Yeah, he got in his truck and left.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say is I had tasks and tasks that I waited to do and tasks that I waited to do. One of them was some wires on my swimming pool. And one day, Devin just showed up and tied them all together and put them in a tube and took care of it. You can't imagine how encouraged I felt. Or sometimes, and it's not because she doesn't love me, I like to do my own laundry. That way if socks disappear. Yeah. Does anybody else have a deal where your socks always... They go away. I got a drawer full of a blue sock and a red sock. None of them match, okay? They come back as Tupperware less, yeah. But anyway, sometimes Sandy will come in and I'll just find my clothes folded. Boy, what a... It just makes me feel good, right? So we're all weak. So the thing is, we're all helpless and we're all hopeless in some area of our lives.
Amen.
We really are. And so let's learn to recognize that in each other and to reach out and help people where their weaknesses is. That's the kingdom of God working. Jana, that's how it works. And there's always somebody with a weakness next to you, even when they look like they've got it all together and got everything going on. And you know what I mean? I'm thinking of me right now. But someone will show up and help me with something that is such an encouragement to me. Be patient with everyone. You can't be patient. You cannot will yourself to be patient. I'm telling you, you cannot do it. I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit can make you a patient person. Because people will try your patience. They will drive you nuts. You will just think, man, I don't know what to do with this. Aaron's smiling away and looking at Stephanie. Is it you that's doing the stuff? We can't muster it up. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Y'all wanna say Galatians 5:22 with me? But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. That's the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit. What's the fruit of the flesh? The Lord put this in my mind while I was doing this. It's the exact opposite. And I dreamed it up. Look here at the bottom. If that is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the flesh is hate, joylessness, turmoil, impatience, criticism, bad intentions, unfaithfulness, harshness, and being out of control. That is where your flesh is going to take you. So my encouragement to you this morning is say, Holy Spirit of God, put the fruit of your Holy Spirit in my life. Let it come out. And be patient with one another. Don't engage in payback. This means have no tally sheets in your life. Well, what's a tally sheet? I knew a guy that whenever I would do something good for him, he would say, I know everybody that's done something good for me and bad, and they're going to pay back. That's a tally. He said, I run a tally sheet. That's what he told me. He was a guy cooking meth that I helped get out of prison, you know. And then, but it's just crazy. That's a horrible way to live because you're doing accounting all the time. If I wanted to be an accountant, I'd be an accountant, right? Instead, and do good for others because that's what you're told to do. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows or a woman, that she or he will reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. Amen? And let us not be weary in well-doing. Why did it put that in there? Any of y'all ever helped me do a good deed and we just got spit at? Huh? Yeah, guys, there's a couple people raising hands. It's saying don't grow weary in doing good. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, we talked about this earlier, where when you're sowing seed or when you're planting seeds and you're not always seeing them grow and you're working away and you don't always see the harvest.
You never get to drive the combine.
You get tired.
Right. We all want to be combine drivers.
It's easy to get wearisome.
It is. It's very wearisome. And to be honest with y'all this morning, there was about 10 of y'all here, about 30 after. And Larry just looked at me and smiled. He goes, we're going to minister to whoever's here today. And I said, you're right, Larry. We're going to minister to. Then we turn around and that next 5 minutes, it's like the whole world shows up. But I'm saying, you know, this just being telling y'all some personal stuff. And Kelton and I, we have to encourage Kelton, Larry and I do, because he wants to see fruit in his ministry. Never take vengeance. So don't do things good for people just to get something back. And when people do bad to you, don't rejoice when bad things happen to them or try to work it out where bad stuff happens to them. That's called vengeance. And let me tell you, payment by God is way more than you could ever muster.
Right.
Way more. Don't worry about it. I've had people, yeah, Stephanie. Yeah. But we go all go through these discouraging things. We want our lives to be significant, don't we? He says, I see no hunger in people. I said, Kelton, they've got every other distraction. They're not hungry. When people finally wake up and realize how hungry they are for God, they're just willing to take the gospel. They realize their need, okay? Six, do what is good for each other. We're going to end up with this. It's pretty straightforward. It's looking out for the good and welfare of others. It's going to cost you your time, your talent, your treasure, your refrigerators, your water, your electricity, food. It's going to cost you your time. It is a hassle to love people. And you know what? We're called to love one another. We are. We're called to love one another. We're also called to tell loafers to move on down the road. You see what I'm saying? It's all kind of a tension there, and you have to listen to the Holy Spirit to know what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah, Tyson?
I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, that we're not just so much called, but we are commanded to love one another.
We're commanded. It's the first and great commandment. I mean, and the second is likened to it, okay? So loving others will never feel even. Do y'all understand what I mean? Say, you get even? You're never going to feel even. I can tell you in a Christian marriage, I mean, I to be honest with you, I feel like she gives more than me, really. But if you sit with a partner and you try to be even, oh, you'll go nuts. Someone said to me, some old guy when I got married said, just do 70% of everything and it's all going to be okay. Do 70% in your mind, right? But don't try to be even. You know, just do the things God lays in your heart early morning. Go do them, and don't worry about tally sheets. When you begin to love others as you love yourself, guys, you're walking in the Spirit, and you are very near to the heart of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good so, words,
with those words, Cassandra, would you close us in prayer, and then we're going to have our offering.
Amen.
Thank you, Cassandra.